WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, still broadcasting in high-definition mono sound at an AM 1570. In Towson, we hope you set a place on your dial for us. Certainly, now that football season is winding down, but does it ever really wind down? The games just stop. This is the time for pay as opposed to the time for play. Luke Jones joins us now on the eve of all of the madness of offensive coordinator candidates coming in and who's going to be the next coach, what's going to happen to the quarterback, where's the cap space. Oh, they have this combine thing coming up and all of that in addition to the fact that, yeah, there's a Super Bowl game, there's a couple hours of football left, but they don't have to play again until September the 10th, Luke Jones. And between now and then, it is the business of football, which, to your point, is sometimes people don't pay as much attention to this, but this is certainly a really, really busy, busy time out in the castle, let alone as to what's going on with John Harbaugh and picking coaches.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you just said the Ravens won't play another meaningful game until September, and the biggest question that comes to mind for me immediately is just how different will that team look come September? I mean, you know, we can talk about the offensive coordinator, but we know that it begins with Lamar Jackson and what's going to happen on that front. Is it going to be the tag? Do they work out a long-term deal after 2 years of off and on negotiating? Is there a trade? I mean, who knows at this point? I mean, I've said for a while now that I'm expecting anything that could happen, right? I mean, that's where you kind of are with this thing. In the meantime, we've seen what at this point is becoming pretty apparent, the most exhaustive offensive coordinator search they've had since Gary Kubiak, right? I mean, I think you kind of look at how it played out. When Kubiak left to become the head coach in Denver, they hired Mark Trestman very quickly, and that ended up being dubious, right? It wasn't a good fit, but that was
I know your brother, right?
I mean, that's kind of what happened. I mean, John Harbaugh would probably take issue with describing it quite that simply, but let's face it, they moved quickly and they hired him. That was not an exhaustive search where they quote casted they were casting a wide net. So every coordinator since then, you know, I mean, it was Morningwig interim, then they took the interim tag off of him. Greg Roman was on staff and they promoted him. So we're seeing the Ravens cast a very wide net. John Harbaugh has followed through on that. We have heard reported names, some of the names more recently, Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator at Georgia, and you see what kind of success the Bulldogs had on their way to a national championship. He also has NFL experience. Let's be clear about that. And the interesting name over the weekend, and we'll see where this leads in terms of how much interest there is and how it goes, because Kansas City's still playing. But Eric Bieniemy, which would be interesting in terms of, from his perspective, a lateral move, but there's been so much conjecture from clearly the NFL's hiring process of minority candidates down to just how much influence and how much control has Bieniemy had in that Kansas City offense. And we know Andy Reid is the offensive genius that he is. So if you're Bieniemy, whether we're talking the Ravens or any team he could potentially be linked to, has he had some thoughts of going somewhere else and distinguishing himself? If he comes to Baltimore, John Harbaugh is not an offensive mastermind. You hear names like that, not saying that he's going to be the guy or that he's the favorite, but it's very clear the Ravens are searching far and wide here. We'll see who they ultimately hire, but this has gone quite differently from replacing Wink Martindale a year ago, when it became evident pretty quickly that Mike McDonald was, if not at the top of the list, near the top of the list from Jump Street, and they moved quickly and they hired him as the new DC within a week after Wink was let go, or quote mutually parted ways. It's been interesting to see that. I think,
well, this is where that Rooney Rule issue really becomes, when you have your eye or heart set on someone, whomever that person is, and you're doing All in the Family, right? Like, in general, and that's been John's, most of what John's done has been All in the Family, most of it. And I think especially as he's gotten older and maybe gotten burned going outside the family, right? Like, not knowing people well, to your point, other people that they have known well. But McDonald was like an inside guy, in the same way that Belichick's always bringing back Josh McDaniels. And then there's Dean Pease that just leaving are never going to come back. And I guess in the case of Vic Fangio and and John Harbaugh, or even Rex Ryan and John Harbaugh, where the parting of the ways is forever. Part of this is relationship based in the industry. You mentioned Todd Monken being back and forth, and that's weird too. When guys go to college, that there aren't a whole lot of guys that do that go back and forth and straddle that more lately. But this is an important pick, right? Like for Eric, for Steve, for John, that what this is going to look like when you're not going to the playoffs and winning playoff games. You're not the favorite. You're seeing how good these other teams are and how good these other offenses are and how good their passing games are. And you know where you are. And there's all of this purple plumes of smoke about what's really going to happen with Lamar Jackson and whether if you take this gig, you're going to zig or zag. And I don't know that they can answer that question for any Todd Monken or any prospective candidate out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I wrote from the moment that they let go of Greg Roman, which was anticipated. I think we saw the writing on the wall for weeks, if not months, with the way that the season went after what had been a really hot start throwing the football in the month of September. We know it went sideways long before Lamar Jackson even got hurt in that regard. So it is complicated because if you are, and I just mentioned Eric Bieniemy just as an example, right? I mean, he's in a unique position. You know, the Kansas City's had so much success. He's been named as a head coaching candidate for how many years? He's gone on interviews. And again, there's been so much conjecture. What's truth? What's, you know, hearsay as far as that scenario? But the fact that it's even being talked about, and it's not as though the Ravens were the only team that had been mentioned. There's been some, at least a little bit of smoke as far as the idea of him making a lateral move elsewhere to try to distinguish himself, you know, I guess to get out of Andy Reid's shadow, so to speak. But those are
the only moves you make unless you go up. Like Wink Martindale, you get fired, you get the next gig. If you're Greg Roman, you're going to be an OC somewhere. It's a lateral. I mean, that's the nature of that position until you get tapped on the shoulder and get the gig. And then you get the gig, and you're in Detroit, you're 0-16, and you're Jim Schwartz. And the next thing you know, you're a defensive coordinator again and happy to be a well-compensated $4 million a year defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, right? Like, so it's still a really big job, man. It's a big, big job.
It is. But even in the case of Bieniemy, where you're talking about what would be a unique situation where he would make a lateral move, right? I mean, he's been this hot shot coordinator on the short list, at least from a perception standpoint. And again, what exactly has gone on there? I don't know. I'm not privy to that out in Kansas City. But if you're him and if you're the Ravens potentially pursuing him, and again, we're just going off of a report over the weekend. You're looking at the situation if you're him and you're saying, okay, I can go to Baltimore. I'll be the guy there. I mean, John Harbaugh's not this former offensive coordinator, brilliant play caller like Andy Reid. So it'd be my offense there, right? I mean, at least in terms of me calling plays and laying out the game plan every week and whatnot. But it's great to say that, and that looks good on paper if you have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. But if you don't know that, that complicates things. That's not to say the Ravens can't hire a quality person as their offense coordinator, but we can't sit here and keep acting like Lamar Jackson's uncertain short-term and long-term status. Is it going to be a factor here? It absolutely is. That does. Now, I will also say this, and this is why I think the Ravens are still in a good position to hire a quality person. As I say to you all the time, as much as I agree with your point that they better get this right, because you kind of look at where they are from an organizational standpoint, not just with their quarterback right now, but there's always more than one right hire. You know, there's more than one person that you can hire that would be good for you. You know, and there's a wide range of outcomes, right? You can hire the best coordinator ever, or you can hire someone that's a total disaster. And there's a wide range in between those two extremes. But if you are John, if you are Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta, and just anyone that's involved in this hiring process, behind, once you get to a certain point down the road where you're talking job, right? You're talking in terms of, we like what we see. We like what we've heard out of you. We like the work that you've done in this team or this city or this school, whatever it is. We understand that there's not 100% certainty with Lamar Jackson's status right now. However, he's at the very least a very valuable asset. And if it does come down to the fact that at some point, whether it's later this spring or even if it's next year and he plays on the tag for a year, we feel very strongly that we're going to get some amazing assets in return if we do have to trade him. So you sell to an OC that even if it's not Lamar Jackson, and again, however you want to lay that out, chances are you're going to be getting multiple first round picks and you can hand pick who your young quarterback's going to be that you draft. So, but it still complicates things. I mean, it does. And that's, again, that doesn't mean the Ravens can't hire a high quality offensive coordinator, but you know, it's a different animal when you're talking about as talented as Lamar is, if he's not under contract and you haven't been able to work out a long-term deal and okay, you can tag him, but what does that mean? He's not going to show up at OTAs. He's not, until he signs that tender, he's under no obligation contractually to show up for mandatory minicamp or training camp.
Or to meet your new offensive coordinator.
Right,
literally.
Right. Exactly. And again, we don't know how Lamar would handle that in the same way. I mean, some guys who are tagged, they sign their tag and they play. I mean, we've seen that here in Baltimore with, you know, a Terrell Suggs. But at the same time, some guys will hold out. In the case of Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, he sat out an entire season. I don't know how Lamar is going to handle it if it comes to that. But if you're the OC candidate, you're certainly thinking about that, because if it's not Lamar Jackson, then who is it? So that's why, and that's, I don't think that's necessarily the reason why this process has, I wouldn't even say it's been dragging, because it's only been, you know, it's been less than 2 weeks since.
Well, you don't have a quarterback to meet. Why are you in a hurry? I mean, you're in a hurry that you don't lose somebody you want.
Sure.
But I would just say, like, I don't know that there's any huge rush as to whether it's February 1st or February 18th as to how this plays out for them making this hire. And I keep going back to, this is really important hire, right? Like, just in general, who the fans are going to hate next. It was Matt Cavanaugh, then it was Cam Cameron, then it was Greg. I've lived through and been on the radio through all the firings of the offense coordinator. Bring on the GIMP. You know what I mean? This will be the next one. But there is a point where, you know, John's at the top of this, and we don't talk a lot about, I talk to John as sort of the king or the emperor or head coach for life or whatever, but, you know, this is, to your point, they're going outside the organization. It smells more like a Steve job search than a John job search in regard to the scope and the magnitude and where they need to be and the Rooney rule and all the things that they need to do. I would preach caution here, right, to your point, after Mark Trestman and after mistakes made, and also knowing the other side's going to have caution too, because this is not, sure, there's no certainty in this gig.
Sure. I mean, you can talk all you want about the overall stability of the organization, and that's still a factor, and that's still something that is very attractive if you're a coordinator looking at this job, you know, in a big picture sense. But they've got to get this hire right because, I mean, whether Lamar Jackson's continuing to be the quarterback here in Baltimore or not, you need to have, you know, you need to get this right. You need to have, we've seen, I mean, it's too important. I mean, you can't just win on defense, right? I mean, as much as you feel good about the current state of the Ravens defense, they've got to fix their offense and more specifically their passing game. And how do you do that? And, you know, whether Lamar Jackson's involved in that or you're bringing in a bridge quarterback or you're drafting a quarterback in April. I mean, again, all the different possibilities you lay out.
Better
on the table.
Wide receivers better be a part of it if you want to throw the football, right?
But one point I did want to make, and you just said this, I mean, ultimately the buck stops with John Harbaugh, with his coaching staff, right? I mean, that's how it works. And I don't say this, I think cautionary tale would be too strong, but let's not lose sight of the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are back in the Super Bowl 5 years after they won a Super Bowl with Doug Peterson as their head coach, whom they have since fired. And look, John Harbaugh has a longer tenure than Doug Peterson had in Philly. But the overall point is the Eagles are an example of, you know, they decided to start over, and they decided to start over not terribly long after winning a Super Bowl. Now,
and they had Chip Kelly, which was disastrous, right? And a long history of not winning with Andy Reid, right? Literally,
right.
Well, this ownership group.
But I guess my point is just talking about with Doug Peterson. I mean, it's not as though he just, you know, they didn't give him just a decade. And look, the bottom fell out in Philadelphia. I mean, Carson Wentz, it was clear and it's been evident since he's left Philadelphia that his career completely went sideways. Doug Peterson has since landed on his feet and had a nice year with Jacksonville. But, you know, the overall point there is Philadelphia is back in the Super Bowl with 5 years later with a different head coach and a different quarterback. I mean, it's just, you know, things can change, and that's not to, I think it's just a reminder here that how important this needs to be, because if John Harbaugh doesn't hire the right OC, and this offense, whether it's Lamar staying or whether it's starting over and, you know, whatever it is, and it is not going in the right direction, at some point the buck has to stop with John Harbaugh then. And now we're talking about, you know, the Ravens haven't been to an AFC championship in a decade. I mean, that's a fact now. That's a long time. I mean, you know, and you could say the same thing about Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin, and that's not me saying that, you know, that he's going to get fired, but at some point in time, you look at this thing and say, you know, is this moving in the right direction, or are we just kind of in a holding pattern here where
have to ask that with their $50 million quarterback, right? Like,
sure, you know,
franchises have that with quarterbacks and with coaches, literally, right?
Right. So, I mean, and that's the big thing. I mean, 5 years ago, we were talking about John Harbaugh's future, right? I mean, we were talking about it at the end of the Joe Flacco era. And I mean, midway through 2018, there was all kinds of conjecture and rumors and reports that, you know, that the Ravens and Harbaugh were heading toward a breakup until Lamar Jackson arrived in the starting lineup and things changed. But, you know, I mean, we're 5 years later now on that, and the Ravens have one playoff win since then. So,
well, things change quickly. To my point about Doug Peterson is he did something nobody's ever done there with a backup quarterback, and they threw his ass out on a rail very, very quick. There was no rope. There was no Doug's the smartest. He's the guy. He's the reason. It's like, we'll get another one of you. And then I think about situations where, like, Kyler Murray's counting his money and Cliff Kingsbury is, like, in Thailand somewhere in Phuket, saying Phuket. And I think about, you know, Russell Wilson's counting his money and he's running around with Sierra and Tierras and, you know, whatever they're doing in the offseason, and Nathaniel Hackett's like trying to get an OC gig, right? So it really is amazing, these journeys, these quarterbacks and the coaches and the OCs and what they go through. But the difference is here and in Pittsburgh, to your point, and in New England and in New Orleans when Sean Payton was there, but he had the same quarterback. So did Mike Tomlin, and so did Bill Belichick for the longest time. I mean, John Harbaugh's on two quarterbacks. Now we're maybe three if there's a direction here. But there is a marriage that comes with a quarterback and a franchise quarterback and a coach that, you know, we're at a really pivotal spot in the history of the Ravens, right? Like where they are and where they're going, because – here's where I am. Luke Jones is here, by the way. You can find him at the Baltimore Luke if you're out on the internet and AM 1570. Going to be doing a lot of Super Bowl Radio Row cool stuff in the coming weeks. So Luke, I am your Todd Monken. I'm your Eric Bieniemy. I'm whoever your next Matt Cavanaugh and Cam Cameron and Jim Caldwell is going to be. And I come in and I put my feet up on the desk. I'm all ready. I've won something. I've got a ring from this or a hat from that or a shirt from here. What do we have? All right, we got a left tackle who didn't play a whole lot, is a little broken down and probably, you know, well compensated right now. We have some older offensive linemen. We have this young guy at center. Looks like he's going to be a player. Mark Andrews, is he on the better side of grade, or is he in that window where he is? We've been using him like a wide receiver. He's a tight end. We don't know who the quarterback is. Wide receivers, what do we got? All right, well, that kid, he's okay when he's healthy. I mean, I'll hear that. He's an elite. He could be an elite player. I mean, I've seen him do elite things. So I'll check off on you. Have a wide receiver for me. We're going to go into the draft. We'll look at free agents. We'll do all that. All right, money. I'm good with money. You're going to pay me the requisite $3.8 million a year, whatever, you know, it says I'm going to get. Now I'm going to come in here. What is the car here, Luke? You know, is the car, we just spent $20 million on an interior linebacker and we're going to pump the defense up. And we got this incredible corner that locks down on that side. We're going to figure this thing out. We've drafted all these young defense. We're okay on defense. We need you to be the genius. I'm wondering what the pitch is. What does John say to these guys? And what do these guys say to John right now? And I'm going to play this out a lot probably over the next week or two until we get to this. Because this is fascinating, because this is as empty and weird a cupboard as the Ravens have ever had to offer the hot coordinator to say, we've got this and it zigs and it zags and you're going to be an innovator and you're going to be a genius and we're going to get your next gig. I don't think it lines up that way with John. Nobody comes here thinking like John's going to be pointing them toward the Harbaugh tree. This is a different kind of gig. And, you know, I mean, it just is. Calling it the way I see it, when you come in here, I don't know how attractive this job is other than the pay and this and that, but like actually thinking that you know what you're getting here, because this is going to be a much more mysterious gig. You're going to have a leap of faith, to use a Bruce Springsteen song for you.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was just going to use that to a degree. I would paint some of what they have in a little bit of a more positive light than you laid it out. I do think the offensive line's in a good spot at this point in time. Ronnie Stanley, while he didn't come back until October, he looked like Ronnie Stanley when he was playing. Now, was he 100% all the way back to 2019 pre-injury? Maybe not, but I think the point is he didn't look like a severely diminished version of himself.
Would you want him protecting Joe Burrow?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you like his salary cap number and his injury history? No. Here we go. Big trust. Do you trust him? You know what I mean? Do you believe he's got 16 games in play? Do you believe he's got 11 games next year and playoffs in him as a 30, right? I mean, we're getting to that point. If you're coming in and taking the gig, am I playing with that, or am I playing with a fourth string, the big kid that didn't Filele, and we literally, they went from that to right. Greg Roman, take this kid, make a left tackle, go be a genius, right? Literally.
Well, Filele is still more intended to be a right tackle, but that's where they were, right? They lost Juwan James, and then Patrick McCary got hurt too. So they were down to pretty quickly early in the season, down to their fourth string, at least for a game or two where they were. But I hear you, but I do think you look at the rest of the offensive line. You know, Linderbaum looks on his way to being at least a Pro Bowl caliber kind of center. I think that's... Yeah, that's not an unreasonable projection at this point. And quite frankly, needs to be. That needs to be at worst. He's fringe Pro Bowl. Otherwise, that's not a good pick in the first round for a center. But you know, you have him. You still have Kevin Zeitler under contract. You have Morgan Moses under contract. Left guard, we'll see what happens there. I mean, Ben Powers, I think, is going to be too expensive in free agency. And hey, he played well. He deserves a chance to get paid elsewhere. And I don't think the Ravens, they're not going to have the cap space to do that, quite frankly, when you consider the other needs they have on this roster and whatever the heck's going to happen with Lamar Jackson. You know,
hey, man, I chatted with Ryan Jensen over the weekend. He sends his best.
There you go. So, but overall, you know, to go back to your original question, I do think the offensive line's in a good position. Yes. Is there going to be some unknown with Ronnie Stanley still? Sure. Is it as much as a year ago where we were wondering if he was going to play again? I think he's answered that at least to a point, and he's moving in the right direction there. And that's all you can do right now, because contractually speaking, cap-wise, you're still stuck with him for another year or two. So if he can build on what he did last year, then that's a positive. So offensive line's in a good spot. Doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, 5 for 5 and starters returning, but feel pretty good by, you know, the chances of 4 out of 5 returning there. Tight end room, Mark Andrews is one of the very best in football. That hasn't changed. And you have Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler, you know, who, you know, especially Likely, flashed the potential that he could be, you know, as number two tight ends go, he could give you some dynamic pass catching ability there, which you're going to need, especially not knowing what wide receiver is going to look like in your attempts to upgrade. But, you know, and you have J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. We'll see what happens there. He is making, you know, a little over $4 million, which is pricey considering where they are cap wise. And he's your number two running back. So we'll see what happens on that front. But you feel overall, you feel good about at least your 2023 running back picture. But your point is well taken. If you're an OC, what the hell is going to happen with Lamar Jackson? I mean, you have to ask that, right? I mean,
there is no answer when you take the gig.
Well, they'll give you, I'm sure the Ravens are giving an answer to that person. It's how much confidence do they have in that?
Well, I think he's gone. And I think the pitch is we're going to come in here and rebuild this thing and start from scratch. And that has to be the way you're thinking about this. You can't be thinking about this as Lamar's here. I mean, I just, I have, okay. I, as a fan, as a radio person, as a reporter, I'm thinking about it more. All the tea leaves say to me that I would expect him to not be here. And that's how I feel about it. That's how my head's on it. But, you know, I walk around town and I hear how, I mean, most fans believe he's coming back, and that's, God bless them, but I don't feel like the body language, the money, the history. I just, if you're giving me a dollar to bet it, I think he'll be somewhere else. And I think somewhere else means that this is a complete different kind of gig. Exciting gig for the right person, right? But a different kind of gig than maybe it would have been in a different circumstance.
Fair enough. I mean, I still think there's more uncertainty there. I don't, for example, I don't think they're telling a new OC that Lamar Jackson's definitely going to be traded. But at the same time, if they're saying with 100% certainty that he's going to be back and he's going to, and not just 2023, but beyond, then yeah, I mean, I don't think you can speak with that level of certainty. And again, that's where you go back to this offensive coordinator. And something we'd be remiss without mentioning is there are a lot of OC gigs out there right now. And let's be clear, there are absolutely teams that have an offensive coordinator opening right now that would not look as attractive as the Ravens, even without Lamar Jackson. However, there are gigs out there that might have a little more quarterback certainty in terms of, you know, either they have a guy like in the case of Justin Herbert with the Chargers, or a team that has an early draft pick, right? You know, a team that is going to be selecting, you know, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or, you know, Will Levis, you know, whoever you're talking about. So,
well, the other thing is you're getting a 3-year deal here at $10 million or whatever the going rate is. So there is the stability of, if I play with Derek Carr this year and it doesn't go well, I can survive this. And if I don't, I'm being compensated to survive it either way. So there is that part of taking the mystery on that, whatever it is, year three, you might have a different quarterback, right?
Yeah. Although I would also say, and you mentioned the contract, and of course that's part of it, but let's face it. Head coaches get fired all the time with 3-4 years left on their contracts. So there's never certainty in that way. If you're, whether you're an OC, whether you're someone that's being hired to become a head coach somewhere, you know, I mean.
But what they're pitching you now. In the honeymoon period is, you know, we don't know who our quarterback is on April 1st, let alone September 1st of 2026, right? Sure. But you're going to be the guy here, and hopefully we're beating Patrick Mahomes and getting ready to go to that Super Bowl in Inglewood or wherever they're going to have it that year. You know, like, that's how this, I think organizationally, the best part of this gig is it feels like John's king. It feels like John's going to let you do your thing. So that unto itself is pretty exciting. I think if you're taking that, I don't want to urinate on this job because I don't think it's a bad job. I just think it's a way different job than a lot of other jobs.
Yeah. Well, certainly if Lamar Jackson's not going to be here, it is because, I mean, you just said it. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Joe Burrow, presumably, and again, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, so I don't want to make too strong of an assumption here, but presumably not going anywhere. You have Josh Allen in Buffalo. I already mentioned Justin Herbert with the Chargers. So if Lamar Jackson's not going to be your guy, well, I mean, you just mentioned, and I know you were just using it as an example, but, you know, Derek Carr coming in, I mean, okay. You know, Ryan Tannehill coming in, okay. Do I think the Ravens are going deep into January with a guy like that? No, I don't. I mean, for me, it would become, when are you getting your franchise guy then? You know, who's the next Lamar Jackson, you know, if we're talking about that scenario playing out. So that's where it is. You know, it's tricky. And again, that doesn't mean the Ravens aren't going to hire a good person. It doesn't mean the Ravens haven't talked to really good candidates. But this is why I asked John Harbaugh the day when they met with the media and it was announced that Greg Roman was moving on and that they were going to be searching for a new offensive coordinator. That's why I asked John right off the bat, is there some concern based on whatever's going to happen from a business standpoint? And again, even if Lamar Jackson's tagged, even if you say we're tagging you, we're not trading you in 2023, what does that look like? When is he showing up? And again, we've talked about it, and this isn't even saying pro Ravens, anti Lamar, it's well within his right. You know, if he gets tagged, it's well within his right to start using some leverage. You and I talked about it last August, wondering if you really wanted a fully guaranteed deal, why aren't you holding out or holding in at the very least? He didn't use any of that leverage then. So does he start doing it now? Or do you tag him and he shows up and it's fine, and they just play another year like they did last year? I don't know.
I think they know, tag him, show up, fine. I think that that's not really on the table.
Probably not, but I'm just laying out all – I mean, even if it is a case where Lamar's here this coming year, what does that look like for the new OC? What does that look like cap-wise in terms of your ability to bring in some better wide receivers? I mean, it's great to say, all right, well, we'll draft one. Well, is that going to be enough? I mean, you know, are you going to depend on Rashad Bateman to be healthy? You know, we've talked about veterans at wide receiver. What about corner with Marcus Peters becoming a free agent? You got going to have to bring in another corner. And, oh, yeah, you don't have a second-round pick because you just traded that to Chicago for Roquan Smith. So there are a lot of questions at work here. That's not to say the sky's falling, but it's a lot of uncertainty right now, and more so than this organization is – used to. I mean, I at the very least, you're going back to 2018, you know, that off season where at that point the Ravens had missed the playoffs 3 years in a row. Joe Flacco was starting to break down physically. Whether anyone expected it to be that off season or not, it was clear that the Flacco era was starting to come to an end at that point in time, whether it was going to be 2018 or the following year drafting a quarterback. I think most people figured that was right around the corner, just on the fact that, you know, Joe was breaking down physically and had the bad back the year before. So, you know, at the very least, this is as uncertain, you know, the level of uncertainty right now with their offense specifically is as great as it's been since then. And, you know, I would even venture to say that this might be as much uncertainty as they're feeling collectively with Lamar, offense coordinator, the positions of need that they have right now, the salary cap ramifications. You know, this might be as uncertain as it's felt since, I don't know, maybe go back to the year John Harbaugh was hired. I mean,
well, they've had 5 years of a franchise legendary quarterback who's got a statue built in his college town, and they won one playoff game. And and they're exasperated, right? Like, clearly the podium that you were in the room, that, you know, in December and into January, not having him available in January, adding on to whatever the divide is with practices, money, contract, training camp, tweets online, accountability, pay me, like all of that, not showing up in Cincinnati at the play, not being that, you like all of that tells me that there's some tea leaf issue here that they're not going to be the ones to pay him the most, right? And you know, for you, when people ask you, what do you really, if you had a dollar, what would you bet it on, Luke? I mean, where do you really think this is going to go?
I'd like to think we're going to see a resolution one way or the other, meaning you either work out a deal, and maybe it's because Lamar Jackson, maybe the tag's involved, maybe you say, hey, we'll explore a trade. Go seek out what your value is, you know, in a way that's not the same as Ray Lewis in 2009, but along the same. I mean, Ozzie Newsome told Ray, hey, go see what other teams will pay you. I mean, Ray hit the market, as you know. You know, so it's not going to be that extreme because Lamar is not going to become a unrestricted free agent. We know that. But if you get some clarity and you see what other teams are offering, or maybe more importantly, what they're not offering relative to what Lamar Jackson wants, is that the catalyst for some movement? Or are other teams saying they'll give you more guaranteed money, and then the Ravens revisit where they are with their franchise quarterback, knowing that, hey, the prices aren't going to get any cheaper. New TV money's going to kick in. This is just the price is going to continue to go up, and that's the cost of doing business. In the same way we talked about the Orioles over the last 20 years at different times of free agency, you can talk all you want about fiscal responsibility. That's great. That's not getting you the player, right? I mean, that's getting you finishing third for every free agent. So, but I'd like to think that either that, or you do work out a trade and you at least have some finality here, a resolution, because this past season was not good in terms of that situation. And look, I'm not saying that that's all Lamar Jackson's fault. You made mention about one playoff win. If I'm Steve Bisciotti, I'm asking Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, hey, we had this unanimous MVP quarterback. Why did we only win one playoff game over the last 5 years? That's a fair question of them.
Well, then the answer would be he got hurt the last 2 years. Well, we couldn't even get it. We couldn't even get clarity on how hurt he was for our own purposes that we've looked I would think in their minds a little foolish for coming out and saying he was going to be able to play and couldn't play, right?
Well, fair enough, but that's putting it all on Lamar Jackson. There are other reasons why this team only has one playoff win beyond Lamar Jackson's lack of availability at the end of the last 2 years.
Yeah, somebody to throw the ball to, right?
Well, that offensive coordinator, I mean, Greg Roman was wildly successful in 2019. Why did it backslide from that point on? You know, okay, how much of that's Lamar? How much of that's personnel? How much of that is coaching? How much of that is, yes, some bad luck, no question, with the injuries? But my overall point is it's not all – that one playoff win, it's not all a Lamar Jackson thing. It's an organizational thing. You know, it's all those different reasons. And you know, you can try to divide up the pie of blame however you want, but it's more than one thing. So that's where you look at this thing and where it is unique in terms of if you are moving on, ultimately, if you are ultimately going to trade him. And again, I don't know. You asked me to bet a dollar one way or the other. That's where I'm still wondering if him playing on the tag is how this still winds up. And I'm not saying that's optimal. I don't think that's optimal whatsoever on a lot of levels, but
I don't know
still,
that that's possible. Like optimal.
Oh, I think it's possible. I mean, at the end of the day, Lamar Jack, I mean, is he going to forego making $45 million? You know what I mean? Like I hear you. It's not optimal. It's not ideal. And that might mean he might not show up till August 14th, but he still has plenty to play for. It's not as though he's going to just turn off his phone and not be prepared to play in 2023 when the time comes. Now, again, that time might be the third week of August, and that's not ideal for you to maximize your opportunity.
Dude, can you imagine the Ravens want no part of that? They just don't. I don't think the Ravens want any part of what they've dealt with the last 90 days, really.
And that's fine. But again, it's great to say these are – I hear you, and I'm not saying you're wrong in saying that. But it's really easy to talk in those terms in February when you don't have any football games to play. When it comes to September and you're trotting out some bridge quarterback or some rookie quarterback that is not Lamar Jackson and you start the season 2-5. And look, you know, I'm not saying that's exactly how it would play out. But the point is, you're still talking about a franchise quarterback and a guy who's been an MVP, 2-time Pro Bowler, tremendous talent. And if you're going to move on from that, like I said, replacing that is easier said than done. So that's where you're treading carefully here. And it's unsettling. And that, again, it goes back to what we were saying. That's part of the OC hire here is, you know, that's part of it. And you can try to sell it the best you can. And again, I don't think the Ravens, if you tell me right now, Lamar Jackson's never going to play for the Ravens again, that doesn't mean I think that of all the OC openings, that it's the worst one. Far from it. But it's not the best one either, you know, in that scenario, because, well, you don't have the third overall pick to draft a quarterback right now. So who are you trading them to? What picks are you getting? Where is that team picking right now? Are you going to try to pick one of these quarterbacks this year? Do you try to do a bridge year and look at next year's quarterback class and say, oh, that's, I like the kid from USC. Maybe that's going to be our guy next year. Well, how do you get from point A to point B in those terms? I'm not saying they're going to tank,
stunk.
But there are a lot of questions here. Regard any way you slice it, whether he's playing on the tag, whether you trade him, or if you do still find a way to sign him long term, which, you know, again, I don't know. But
this is why we're all fans, right? This is, and it's the more esoteric, deeper dive off season, taking in picks, money, personalities, egos, how agents work, how the cap works. You, like who the managers of all of this are, who's at the top of the pyramid, what their tolerance for all this is, what their history is. It's really, really complicated, but it's made much easier and much more clarified, I think, by looking at Patrick Mahomes and looking at Jalen Hurts and looking at what they've done and saying, are we closer to that? Or are we further away from that? Where are we in regard to this? Because it feels to me like the Ravens are a little bit of ways away from what we've seen the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills in the last couple of weeks, but more specifically, how you climb that mountain and you go try to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, they have certain elements of what they have right now. I mean, you look at the defense and, hey, here's something that I want to make clear, because, you know, when you and I have sparred, let's say, you know, and good-natured, but talking about offensive philosophy and how you build a roster in the modern NFL and all that. Defense still matters. Let's be clear about that. And we saw, I mean, look at Kansas City's defense making plays when they needed to, even though they weren't statistically a very impressive defense over the course of the season, but they made plays. It still matters. You need a balanced roster. You know, I think most people who have talked about the passing game needing to be better never said that that means you sacrifice the running game or you completely sacrifice the defense. It just means you need more balance. You know, you have to be able to win in different ways. But you know, there are elements of this roster and elements of this football team that you really, really like. But boy, when you're talking about offensive coordinator, talking about, I mean, first and foremost, your quarterback, the uncertainty there, and then offensive coordinator. And then, oh yeah, did you see the big plays that wide receivers were making over the course of the last couple of weeks in the playoffs? And
we don't have any of those guys. We haven't met those guys yet.
Yeah, the Ravens have Mark Andrews, who at the tight end position does a lot of that, but you need more than one guy. I mean, you just do. And look, if Rashad Bateman comes back healthy, great. He can be part of the answer, but you got to invest there. And you know, those positions I just laid out, and then corner over on the other side of the ball. And okay, is your pass rush good enough? Did you see how important the pass rush was in some of these divisional round and conference championship games? I mean, you know, are you set there? You know, do you feel that good about Ajabo next year? You know, Adafe Owe didn't exactly have a great second season. You know, Justin Houston's a year older. Are you going to bring him back again? I mean, it's, you know, there's, they have, the cupboard is not bare. Let's be clear about that. But some of the positions where they're a little more of a have not, some really important positions. So, and they only have so much cap space depending on what happens with the Lamar Jackson situation. You know, if you trade him, all right, then you have cap space and you're going to have presumably, you know, unless you sign a veteran quarterback, which that'll eat up a lot of your cap space. But if you go the young route, then yeah, you'll have lots of cap space to go get a receiver. Yeah, trade for DeAndre Hopkins then. But if that's not what you're doing and Lamar's on the tag with thoughts of him staying, you know, whether you work out a long-term deal or whether he plays on the tag, then you can have some really limited resources to address all those different things that we just mentioned. So, you know, it's a tight spot. And your question is spot on. Are they closer to those teams that you just mentioned that we're seeing playing the second and third weekend of the playoffs, or are the Ravens, you know, kind of moving in the wrong direction? They're not crashing and burning, but are they moving in the wrong direction? I mean, 2019 at this time, we're talking about the Ravens, you know, even after losing to Tennessee, there was so much talk about they're a year ahead of schedule. They have this unanimous MVP quarterback and look at all these studs they have on both sides of the ball and they have cap space. And well, we saw how that played out the last couple of years. You know, it's winning and progressing to becoming a champion. That's not a perfectly linear process. You know, there are bumps and, you know, there's peaks and valleys and not every team makes it. You know, and look at Philadelphia. I mean, 5 years ago, they thought Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson was going to be their head coach quarterback combination for the next decade. And 5 years later, they're back in the Super Bowl with a different head coach and a different quarterback. So
dude, the
maybe
guy
that
won
right
the Super Bowl 50 weeks
of,
ago had to hold a press conference to say he was keeping
not,
his job.
Not for long.
So it is the National Football
well,
League.
That's a lot. But that was a little different. I mean, Sean McVay, that was much more him saying, do I really want to be part of this anymore? I mean, the Rams weren't firing him or thinking of that. I mean, they're begging him
to
stay.
Do I want
to
be a part of losing? And you know, that would be a question that an offense coordinator would come in here and say, who's my quarterback?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that did, you know?
And that's why I'll go back to what I said to you probably a day or two after Greg Roman was let go or moved on or however you want to describe the semantics of it. But, you know, you look at the situation, for me, it'll be very evident as far as whoever they hire. And look, everyone will have their react, you know, great hire or all. They didn't hire my guy. That guy stinks. The one thing I would say, though, is if this ends up being an internal hire, and look, the Ravens have talked to George Godsey and James Urban, and they're going to do that because you're probably hoping that some of these incumbents will stay, right? I mean, you're going to have to fill out a staff, whoever the OC is. And maybe he brings in a couple guys of his own, but typically you're going to have some holdovers. But if this ends up being an internal hire, and I don't think it will be, but if it were to be, boy, that would tell you a lot about how teams are viewing this situation right now. You know, if the Ravens after 2 weeks say that James Urban's our guy, and look, I have all the respect in the world for James Urban. This isn't bashing him, but if you're hiring someone internally on the heels of letting Greg Roman go, and you know, people were asking if they'd let him go during the season. I mean, people were making the comparisons to Cam Cameron and Jim Caldwell and that whole scenario. But you go through an exhaustive search and then you hire someone internally, that probably tells you all you need to know as far as how this would be perceived. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it will be an outside hire. I don't know who it's going to be. They've cast a very wide net. I mean, I think all the names that have been out there, and I'm sure, because this is always the case, you know, and we find out after the fact, they've talked to some candidates right now that no one knows about right now, other than a very tight inner circle. So we'll see how it plays out. But you're right, this is important. Regardless of whether Lamar Jackson's here in 23 or not, this is a very important hire on a number of levels. And I'll go back to what I said earlier in our conversation. If John Harbaugh doesn't get this right, the finger's got to be pointed at him then. I mean, you can't just keep hiring coordinators and it doesn't work out. And at some point, it comes back on the head coach. You know, talked about clock management and, you know, use of timeouts or all these different things. I mean, we talked about that 2-minute drive at the end of the playoff loss to Cincinnati. That was a total cluster. You know, it's easy to blame that on Greg Roman. That was John Harbaugh's the head coach. That can't happen. You know, especially a 15th year head coach, that can't happen. So yeah, the pressure, the proverbial seat should be getting a little bit warmer in terms of, hey, it's been 10 years since the Ravens have even gotten to a conference championship game. It's time to, they've got to start having more success in January. I think that's the temperature of the fan base, I think, at this point, that, you know, making the playoffs is great. And that's not something to take for granted. At the same time, Kansas City, 5 straight AFC championship games. Buffalo's getting to the second week. Cincinnati was 1 or 2 plays away from going back-to-back to a Super Bowl. So if you're a Ravens fan right now, yeah, you're saying, hey, why is this thing stalling the first weekend or one and done? So I think that's something that's in the background here as the Ravens try to get this offensive coordinator higher right, not knowing what's going to happen exactly with Lamar Jackson.
Well, I'll be celebrating the 22nd year of Purple Rain 1 and Super Bowl 35 Baltimore Bullies this weekend. The executive producer from up at NFL Films and I have been trading some barbs back and forth. Purple Rain 1's available out online. And if you didn't like that one, Purple Rain 2, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary this week of being the 10th anniversary of all things Joe Flacco, who still remains very, very underappreciated here, Joe Flacco, as we sort of knew at the time. So Luke can be found out of Baltimore, Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. Together, we will continue to cover all things Super Bowl and football and revisiting Radio Rose of Yore out at BaltimorePositive.com. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.